Welcome to 20 Minutes and 2 Beers In. I'm JD.
Hey everybody, this is Bobby.
Season 3, episode 51, 155 overall. And we had a fun trip down memory lane last week, Bobby.
Yeah, it was good to go back over those old interviews. Some of our favorites from 2013. Obviously, we had a lot of great interviews. These are just three that we really enjoyed doing. We had a lot of great people on. We were very lucky in 2013 with our guests, and I think we're going to be lucky in 2014 as well, JD. I think things are going to stack up nicely for us.
Nice. We're already starting to work some angles and reaching out to people to be on the show.
Sure.
It was fun after listening to last week's episode. I listened to MBF's whole catalog, and then I'm listening to Emily Wells, and then I had to listen to old Sklar Brothers. It was fun. It was fun, and it was a great time having those guys on and all the interviews. We had a lot of them last year. So it was fun having all those guys on. But now we start a new year, not quite a new season yet. We have a couple episodes before that for 20 Minutes and 2 Beers In. But
we
do have a new episode. Feels like forever since we've recorded an episode.
It's been a little while. You know, we had a little break. But this week we have a lot of stuff going on right now. We're obviously in the middle of bowl season. As all our listeners know, JD is bowl obsessed.
I am.
I think we were talking just beforehand. You were quizzing me on what games I'd seen. And you mentioned you've seen a little bit of every single bowl game so far. So all 356 bowl games that have taken place, you've gotten to see parts of.
I have seen a little bit of everyone live. Thank you to the Watch ESPN app on my phone. So I've watched on the L. I've watched games. I've watched games at work in my office. I have a little stand where my phone is up next to my computer so I can watch games there. It's an illness. I really think I may have only missed one game.
Wow.
I know. There's been years, a long stretch of years, where I didn't miss a single game. But this is the year that it appears I missed one. I missed some last year, too, to be honest. But
well, we're going to go through some of those bowl games with you, find out some of your memorable moments, key plays, all that good stuff.
Yes.
It's also been a very a lot of interesting news coming out of Minnesota on today, the day that we're recording. Chris Cluey posted a very well written piece on Deadspin about his time with the Vikings and his ending with the Vikings.
Ooh. And it was not like all you know, hugs and smooches. When that ended, and still now the wounds are pretty fresh. Mm-hmm. And for some interesting reasons, and you know, everybody knows Chris Cluey's a friend of this podcast and a friend of ours to be on the show. So we're going to talk about that and what that means going forward, not only for the Minnesota Vikings, but in the NFL as well. So we
Absolutely.
Will tackle all of that and oh, so much more when we come back.
I held the girl closer than was safe. Take what you want from me. I'm not afraid to turn around to see you by my side.
Bobby, I love bowl season, and it's not a surprise to anyone. And what is good with every bowl game is beer.
Beer?
And we have to talk about our beer, Bobby.
Yeah.
I felt bad for a minute, because I'm going fancy pants on this. I have a giant bottle, this holiday bottle of Stella Artois. It is a, you know, one of those fancy gift pack thingies.
Sure.
And I've got my Stella. And Stella's not anything fancy. I mean, they try to make it look fancy, but it's a decent beer.
They have fancy commercials. It's a good tasting beer.
But yeah, I've been drinking it, drinking this fancy beer, and I felt bad for a minute.
Okay.
Till I saw what you were drinking.
Yes.
What do you got, Bob? What kind of beer are you drinking tonight?
It's a cold evening in Chicago, as we all know, JD.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm having a nice glass of Merlot to keep me warm.
Crickets.
No, it's just delicious. Goes down smooth, JD, every time. Sometimes, you know, when it's snowing outside, JD, best thing is hearing your voice and drinking a nice glass of Merlot.
I am a little creeped out a little bit. I don't know why. But we do have our beer devotional, Bob.
Okay. What do we got this week?
A Golden Spike Hefeweizen from the Unita Brewing Company. The quote is from the famous person again, Anonymous. Good beer.
He's everywhere.
Everywhere. Good beer needs no passport. It looks pretty good. It looks pretty good. It's a winner of everything under the sun, but it's made in Salt Lake City. Salt Lake City?
That's got to have less alcohol percentage, I'd imagine, low alcohol percent.
It just says it's normal, but available year-round. So that is from our beer devotional. So we're talking football, and as we're recording this, there's a shootout between Oklahoma and Alabama in the BCS Sugar Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Great game. And I got to say, as everyone knows, the BCS ends this year. This is it.
Yep.
This is, I mean, as UCF played Baylor in the Fiesta Bowl, they were talking about how this is their first and only appearance in a BCS game by both teams. And they tried to make it like a big deal.
Sure.
But it really wasn't that big of a deal. But the games have all been really good. But yeah, it is the end of the bowl season, or the BCS season, I should say.
Yeah.
And one thing that I've noticed is I feel they got it right this year.
You think with the matchups, they finally, in the very last year of it, they figured it out?
In the very last year, they figured it out, and because all these games have been outstanding. There's only been a few that you're like, ah. And by those, I mean like the, you know, 30-point drubbing mm-hmm. UCLA gave Virginia Tech, Oregon just spanking Texas.
Yeah.
Louisville all over Miami. And a couple of these games were pretty close for a while.
Yeah.
USC against Fresno State. But overall, wow, some fun, great games to watch. Even that LSU-Iowa Outback Bowl.
Yeah.
I didn't expect much out of that. I really thought Iowa was going to get killed. I really did.
I think a lot of people thought that going into that one, that Iowa was just well overmatched. But they had chances.
And Iowa's defense played pretty well. They just offensively couldn't get anything going.
Mm-hmm.
I thought Texas wouldn't get beat that bad by Oregon with Mac Brown's last game.
I feel bad for Mac Brown for that. That's a bad way to go out.
It is. That, just how he went out this last season. I'm not a fan of his at all. I've been vocal about that on this podcast many times. But I thought he deserved better how it was handled. Wisconsin, I really thought they were going to beat South Carolina, and then all of a sudden that second half.
Yeah, wow. They kind of imploded in the third and fourth quarter. They just let South Carolina do whatever, and the defense, I mean, South Carolina's defense was so good, and you saw the impact that Clowney had, why he's going to be the one or two first or second drafted player. You saw that impact in that game.
You think he's going to go that high? That's a different show, but yeah, I think he'll go in the first round, in the top half of the first round. I don't know if he's going to go as high as that. There's work ethic issues.
Sure.
There's
always that question. In college, you got to wonder because when you're playing teams that are easy to smoke, you smoke them, and then you get tougher matchups, and the guys can have a tendency to disappear. So you're like, well, what are they going to be like when they're always facing greatness? And that's the hardest thing for any GM to evaluate from watching these games. But JD, I want to know, Duke, Texas A&M.
Yes.
You had a definite lean towards one of those teams.
Oh, I was leaning towards Duke. I was pulling for Duke hard.
Yeah.
Hard. they've been a fun team to watch all season long. Nobody expected them to do anything. It's a basketball school. And mm-hmm. to go 6-2 in the ACC, I thought was just tremendous.
Yeah.
And to make it to that that big game against Texas A&M. Now, I felt like they had it for a while, and then you left a sliver of hope. And with a talent like Johnny Manziel, I said it.
You did.
Everybody, rewind, save that, because I haven't given the kid much credit over the years. But he played well, and he brought him back.
Yeah, I mean, Duke had a 21-point lead at halftime, and then it all went downhill in the second half. And Manziel, he had 5 touchdowns. He had a number of key drives. He didn't collapse under the pressure. He was vocal on the sidelines. You saw that. Even if you didn't like it as much, that's who he is. He's kind of the Texas A&M's Tim Tebow.
And one team that I had predicted early to play for a national championship that just suffered injury after injury came up in a great tight shootout with Nebraska, and that's Georgia, finished 5-3 in the SEC. They just came up short. But, man, another one. It's another great game. And what's interesting with some of these games and some of these matchups, it's the second or third choice that this bowl has.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just hoping for a good matchup, and they get it. Even the San Diego County Credit Union Poinsettia Bowl, you know, Utah State against Northern Illinois, and you know I'm a Northern fan here. It was a tight game. It was close.
Man, Jordan Lynch does not end his college career on a good note. Losing the last 2 games of his college career.
Yeah.
That's a bummer.
Yeah, now he's got to prove a little bit more in the combine.
Yeah.
Than he maybe would have had to before.
Absolutely.
One thing that, I like the fact that Notre Dame played well in the second half. The first half, I mean, Rutgers was hanging around?
Well, when you have the quarterback issues that Notre Dame's had this year, there's reasons for teams to hang around.
Well,
you got to be happy. Just that was a celebration, not only for a bowl victory, but no more Tommy Reeves. You had to have kind of in your head. You kind of had to be happy about that.
Well, it was hilarious too, because as they're playing this game, they show Tommy Reeves now. You know, most yards passing by any quarterback in Notre Dame history. And then the next pass was an interception.
Yeah.
and that
sums up his career.
That is Tommy Reese's career. There's some great games still to come as we're recording this.
The Ball State, Arkansas State. That's the battle of the state schools. That's going to be really.
I'm pulling for Ball State.
I got to pull for Ball State.
Yeah, not that the Sun Belt Conference doesn't produce some great teams. But I'm going with the MAC team of Ball State and, Vanderbilt Houston, everybody's excited for that one. No, but seriously, the Clemson Ohio State game, I think that could be a great game. I think they match up extremely well. Florida State Auburn, I fear could get ugly.
You think it's going to be a blowout?
I kind of do.
Florida State? Just running away with it?
No.
You think the SEC school is going to run away with it?
As much as it pains me, because you know I don't like the SEC, and I think they're extremely overrated.
Mm-hmm.
But it's hard not to be overrated when you've won that many national championships in a row. But I really think that Florida State, they just don't have the talent to match up against them. Now, Missouri, Oklahoma State, that is going to be fun.
Yeah,
that is going to be just a barn burner. I'm excited about this one too. Bobby, was there any player that stood out to you?
There were players that you wanted to stand out, and there's players that kind of didn't play as well as you wanted them to play. I was looking at quarterback play. JD, I wanted to see what quarterbacks were going to come out there and make an effort. Hundley for UCLA had a great game. And now I know it was against Virginia Tech. Virginia Tech's a pretty good school. But for UCLA, he did a great job for UCLA, really putting his name out there, again, as a guy who could work his way up the draft. Manziel, I wanted to see if he would rise up to it. I wanted to see if he was already checked out of college or not, and he wasn't. I mean, despite being down 21 points, he brought him back. I wish I could have seen Aaron Murray play against Nebraska, because I want to know where Aaron Murray's going to go with Georgia. Where he's going to end up, if he's going to be somebody that anybody considers taking in the draft, because I thought Aaron Murray was a great quarterback for Georgia in all 4 years that he was there. So that's what I was looking for, JD, quarterback play, and I was not disappointed really by anybody. And I am Bridgewater, had a great end to his college career. Now I'm looking at Clemson, and I want to see how they do against Ohio State, because you have two quarterbacks playing each other, Clemson-Ohio State matchup. That one looks like it's going to be a great battle between those two.
Yeah, I like I said, I agree with that. Going back to what you're saying as far as quarterback play,
yeah.
There are a few quarterbacks that I was really intrigued to see, and partially because I don't get to see some of them that often during the regular season.
Mm-hmm.
And one was in that UCF-Baylor matchup.
Yeah.
Because you're talking about two quarterbacks who could be drafted.
Mm-hmm.
And the UCF quarterback just, for me, just was outstanding. Bortles,
yeah.
Amazing career. 3,581 yards passing, 25 touchdowns, 9 interceptions. Now, in talking with some other people today, they were like, oh, he didn't throw me that much. Like, he is what the NFL looks for. He's 6 foot five. He's fast.
Mm-hmm.
6 foot five. Strong, accurate. He showed me everything he needed to show me to say this is going to be, one of the top three quarterbacks taken in the draft.
Yeah.
And so, I was extremely, extremely excited to see that. And like you mentioned, Jordan Lynch. Bless you.
Thank you. Sorry. Tried to get away from the microphone.
You moved quick. But I was excited to see Jordan Lynch kind of redeem himself after that Ball State loss, and he didn't. He's still one tremendous athlete, and I think he's going to get a shot to be on a roster. But
yeah.
I was hoping for more. So,
but that was your guy. I mean, that was your... you were touting him for the past month as your Heisman trophy winner,
dark horse.
If you had a vote, you would have written him in.
Yeah.
Am I wrong?
Oh no, I totally have voted for him.
Yeah.
But he didn't play as well down the stretch as I thought he would. So, but again, Bobby, it's been an exciting bowl season. I'm excited to see how it all pans out at the end with the national championship game. I'll be sad to see it go.
I was going to say, are you going to be listening to like some Boys to Men? It's so hard to say goodbye to yesterday after that Florida State Auburn game's over. I mean, I feel like there's going to be some tears.
There is going to be some tears. Just, I love the fact the BCS kind of made the rest of the bowls, not as important, right?
Yeah.
I was afraid I wouldn't be as interested. I'm still interested. I watched them all. But I thought the BCS would make it a less of a big deal that these teams qualify and get picked for a bowl game. Now that the format's changing, you knew only a couple, two teams are playing for a national championship with the BCS, how it is now. And a few are going to be in the BCS bowls, but if you're not in the championship, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Nobody really, yes. Oh, we're playing in the BCS Bowl. But it doesn't matter. You're not playing in the BCS Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
So when it changes where all these games going down the stretch could be for the national title, those games get so much more publicity and focus. Where all these lesser bowls, nothing against the Russell Athletic Bowl or the National University Holiday Bowl, but some of these lesser bowls, they may not get the attendance, or your team makes it. Oh, that's all right. We weren't one of the teams to make the national championship playoffs. Anyway, I'll be curious to see how it all shakes out, but I'm enjoying it this year anyway.
There will still be plenty of college football for you to enjoy. It's don't so worry about that. Yep, there
to
it is.
Say goodbye to yesterday.
Well, I know what we just got is our tag on at the end. You can write down this time. That's going to be at the end of the show. JD, I'm going to lead us off with music in the new year. This is a newer release. The band is called Dinosaur Pileup.
Okay.
And the song is called Peninsula.
Strange winds around us, here at the peninsula. Thank God you found us. We could become friends or whatever, whatever, whatever. Creatures around us, bigger than a killer whale. They came here to teach us. We could learn the secrets together, together, together.
Bobby, our friend Chris Cluey is in the news again. He is trending on Yahoo. He is everywhere from CNN to ESPN to CBS. You can read about comments he wrote. He's written in Deadspin a number of times.
Yep.
His views on gay marriage, gay rights, to punting in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
He's been very outspoken, and it's one of the things we love about him. And he's, like I said, been a guest on this podcast a couple times. And I think you even you may have drunk texted him at one point in time.
That's neither here nor there, JD. That is neither here nor there.
I think you asked him something about giraffe. Fighting.
There might have been a battle about two different animals, JD, but he was a willing participant in the discussion.
That's funny.
Anyways, he has written a very well, as I said earlier, I think it's a very well written, and there was a lot of, you could tell from reading it, there's a lot of thought that goes into it, as goes into a lot of what he does. I think he's a person that speaks his mind when it's appropriate, and he certainly does not ever hold back. He has a lot of respect as well, and I think he's built up a lot of that through his actions in the past couple of years. Yep. What he's done, he's got, his word is strong, right? He's got a lot of cred when it comes to speaking about these topics, and he did that today in a pretty big way, basically condemning Mike Prefer and his actions, and saying he hopes that he won't be able to get a job. Based right. Because he's a bigot. He called him a bigot.
He
also called out the general manager of the Vikings, and he also called out the former head coach of the Vikings for being cowards and not standing up, or being people that believe, or I guess fight for what they believe in.
Yeah, Mike Prefer is the special teams coach and the one he worked closest with at the Vikings. And basically saying Prefer was openly prejudiced against gays and intolerant of those who support gay rights.
Mm-hmm.
And Rick Spielman and Leslie Frazier got rid of him because they didn't like that he was expressing his views.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't mince words about it, Chris Cluey. It's a very long article, but like all of Chris Cluey's stuff, well thought out, well written. It didn't go by unnoticed. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah.
it has been, as I mentioned, everywhere. And one person, Mike Florio, wrote in ProFootballTalk.com something that people got to think about now. Is the NFL going to be looking at Prefer for his comments? Could he have NFL discipline? Now, this is all for a guy who is in the line, in line for some big coaching jobs, Prefer is. And people ask, well, why did Chris Kluwe wait this long to put this out? Well, and I do respect his reasoning, is I still have a lot of friends on that team in that organization. And they didn't. I didn't want them to have to deal with that distraction during a season. But he said, I also wanted this to come out. And I don't want Prefer, and like you mentioned, he used the term bigot, a bigot like that, to have an opportunity to coach in the NFL.
And yeah, to be a leader or to espouse his viewpoints on anybody else is pretty much his reasoning behind that. And, you know, I can't disagree with that at all. And Prefer isn't, you're right. Just this past week, Minnesota News was talking about that Prefer is potentially a candidate to be the Vikings' next head coach.
Right, right. And in my opinion, well, before we get to my opinion, following that, the Vikings organization, their PR staff, put out a statement basically saying, we've read these comments. We feel they aren't accurate. Chris Kluwe's assessment is not accurate. And it is policy not it is our policy to be tolerant of others, and on and on and on. PR speak. I mean, it was total PR speak. But let's just be honest. The Vikings had to put that out. They had to. And then Prefer came out and his statements were, he was appalled. He would never say things like that, and on and on and on. I can't believe it. And it could be our relationship with Chris Kluwe, Bobby. I respect him. I respect his opinion. I think he's a smart guy, and he's not one to just start a fight. And this isn't, to me, it's not a guy with sour grapes that he got released and doesn't have a job. It's how it happened. In the article, he did say basically he's a realist, and he knows that he's old and he needs veteran money, and there's a lot of kickers out there. At the same breath, he said he feels like he still could kick in the NFL, but he knows his career is done.
Yeah.
So there's not an axe grind, like, you know, trying to get a, you know, force himself into a job. It's, he just felt like this needed to be out there, and I respect him for it. I do. And he didn't do a 60-minute interview. He did it like he did everything else. He wrote an article for Deadspin, which is a lot of how he's been in the news, but that's how the vehicle he uses. So is there someone at fault here? For me, Chris Kluwe is not at fault. He said what happened. There's some things I think you do leave in the locker room, you know, fights and whatnot. Now, when it gets to what Prefer said and those types of things, that's well beyond that. And he even went to say, as far as Ziggy Wolf came up and thanked him for speaking his mind after one of the games. And where was Leslie Frazier? And I do have a lot of respect for Leslie Frazier. I think he's a class act before I read all this. And is Leslie Frazier, was he covering it up? Was he, you know, was it coming straight down from Spielman, the GM? And Frazier had to play the party line with that. I don't know. It doesn't make the Vikings franchise look any better.
No.
But it also maybe supports a coaching change, which they're doing. it's interesting. These are conversations that you never thought would be coming out in the NFL. Now, playing college ball, and I'm not playing for an SEC team, Bobby.
Yeah.
But when I played college ball, you did hear things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so it doesn't shock me things are said like that, like Prefer said, but it's usually not out for public consumption. And I like the fact that it was brought to the light, to light, and people held accountable. I ran it there for a long time, Bobby, but where do you come down?
Yeah, no, I mean, like you said, the way that Chris Cluey went about doing this, he didn't try to get attention or is trying to get sympathy or anything like this. He did what he always does. He's always been a guy that's pretty easy to access. You can access him on Twitter. He'll respond to you. He answers questions all the time from his Twitter followers. And even in the article, he talked about how when it came time to the Vikings, when you know, Ziggy Wilf told him, keep doing what you're doing, I like it, he went to the PR staff and said, listen, give me, just forward me all the requests directly. I will handle them. I can do it.
Yep.
He doesn't want to have he doesn't want people to filter things down to him. He's going to take it all and he's going to deal with it. And that's how he did with this incident. He put it up on Deadspin. You know, he wrote the piece for Deadspin, and then he just wrote to his Twitter followers, hey, I did another piece on Deadspin. This one's going to be pretty heavy, you know?
Yep.
And it was. And then obviously when other news sources pick up on it, they're going to throw it out there everywhere. Yahoo, ESPN, everything. They're going to start going after and doing that. It wasn't Chris Cluey that was seeking out any attention. And like I said earlier, he is a person that he's very respected. His actions, he puts his money where his mouth is. He not only speaks about issues that he's passionate about, he goes out and he takes part in rallies. He speaks at all sorts of functions. He tries to help people as much as he can and get word out, help with the vote, vote down the amendment in Minnesota. He was out there. He's a person that works real hard at that. So he knows that his word means a lot.
Yes.
And he also would not want to sully what his word means just to go after a former special teams coach of his, which is why I believe Chris over Mike Prefer,
yeah.
Because Chris Cluey, he's got no reason to make this up. Exactly. There's no agenda here for him. He just sees something that's wrong and he wants to do something to make sure that nothing can happen down the line that's worse, that's more wrong than what he already viewed, which is, in his opinion, what would be more wrong is if Spielman and Leslie Frazier don't look at themselves in the mirror. And also if this Prefer guy doesn't get a chance to go around espousing his views and his hate towards other people. So I really have a lot of more, you know, I already respected Chris Cluey. I think he's a very intelligent person. And I think this was a well-written piece and I have more respect for him for doing it. If anything, this hurts Chris Cluey.
Right.
Because, like he said, this has sealed his fate. He's now no longer going to be an NFL player.
Right.
No team's going to want to have him on their team.
But you know what? If I'm the players' union, I want him working for me. Mm-hmm. If I'm Matt Burke, I'm trying to get him as a former old teammate. Get someone that passionate, that outspoken, and... You know, the guy's he wrote an article trying to do the right thing.
Yeah.
And he feels it's the right thing. I want him working for the players' union. On the flip side, if I'm the NFL, it would be smart to hire Chris Cluey as a consultant. It really would be, because, you know, it's a big social issue and you need some people in the front office who are socially minded. Yeah.
Never take either one of those jobs, because I know his viewpoint on, you know, he's got certain viewpoints against both sides. And he's somebody who doesn't want to be beholden to anybody. He likes his ability to be able to say what he wants and work how he wants to work. Yeah. But it's a big story. It's only going to get bigger as the Vikings coaching search goes on. there's going to be a lot of questions for Leslie Frazier and for Rick Spielman about what their stances were, if these were true, if what he says about Leslie Frazier telling him to stop talking about it and then doing an about face once he heard that the ownership was behind him. So it'll be very interesting to hear what those people have to say. It's a big news story, and it's only going to get bigger.
Yep, exactly. But we'll try this year to get Chris back on. Mm-hmm. It's a little crazy right now with him with the interview requests. So we'll definitely get him back on and do a follow-up at some point this season.
Yeah.
Time for My Music, Bobby, and I've got a group called The Digital Age.
Okay.
And great song, great album that came out in August. This song is called Captured. Love, you steal my heart. And oh, when I reach out, you're all. Yeah, it definitely has that Mumford feel about it.
Mm-hmm.
But Bobby, it's time for a six-pack of questions. And what happened here? What happened?
Once again, I am victorious. I'm the overall leader in our picks this year. You know, you got rid of playing basketball because you couldn't win there. And you thought you would win at picking football.
Stop. Stop right there. What's happening next week, Bobby?
You're having surgery going under the knife. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So there needs to be a giant asterisk by those wins you had in horse.
Again, we played left-handed because I wanted to make sure you couldn't. No. More than once. And now we switched to football picks.
I need the proof.
We switched to football picks to give you a chance, and I'm the overall winner so far. So, JD, that means you start us off.
Yes.
Start us off with questions. What do you got for me?
Well, we need music, and first we're going to start that now. We're always a little delayed on that when we're on the Skype line.
Well.
Anyway, Bobby, we had a crap load of snow.
Yes.
A lot of snow in the Chicagoland area, not only through New Year's, but then on January 2nd.
Mm-hmm.
So when we're recording this, a lot of lake effect snow. What is the best way to deal with a blizzard in Chicago?
Ooh, it's the worst way is to stand at a train station waiting for a train on one of those elevated platforms.
Like
that is horrible.
Yeah,
that's like one of the worst possible things ever. No, you need to lock yourself indoors with a movie or some TV. Light a fire in the fireplace and get yourself a nice bottle of red wine, JD. Nice bottle of red wine. JD, Target and Amazon had a little uproar over Beyonce selling her new album Brave, which was she released it. She didn't want anybody to know about it, that it was coming out or anything, so she just released it iTunes only so that there couldn't be any leaks of it in stores. And so it went up, surprise, on a Tuesday, and it's available iTunes only. Then the following week, it was going to be released in stores. Target and Amazon were a little ticked off about Beyoncé's move, so they're not carrying her new album. So if you want to buy her new album,
right,
only on iTunes or Walmart or Best Buy or one of those other stores, not to Target or Amazon. Is this a good move by Target and Amazon to thumb their nose at a musician?
Nope. Not in any way whatsoever. You're fighting an uphill battle if you're selling physical CDs. You really don't want to tick anyone off. Now, you behind the scenes have a discussion saying, hey, we want to carry your stuff. I mean, Target carried the last Beyoncé album exclusively with extra tracks on it.
Yeah.
So they felt, hey, we got a great relationship with Beyoncé, and then this happens. The CD's a dying thing anyway, and you don't want to do anything to jeopardize that. So, yeah, dumb move by Target and Amazon. You don't want to fight that.
You know it's going to move merch, so why would you throw away that money that you're going to be getting? She's a sure thing album sales-wise, but
oh,
I think you're right on that. Yeah, I think you're right.
And we've had the discussion many times that these artists need to do a little bit more to sell physical albums because that's where their money's made. Some artists are doing some really good things with that. Alice in Chains. Not Alice in Chains. A Perfect Circle. Put out a special thing with a lot of bonus DVD footage, concert footage. You have to have all those little extras that you're not going to get in a digital download.
Yeah.
And, but, so the point being is they got to do anything they can to get sales. And so, yeah, bad move. Bobby, you were at my house for New Year's.
Mm-hmm.
And New Year's Day, you and your wife watched the Tournament of Roses.
Yes.
I was shocked, nay, appalled to hear that was the first time you've ever seen the Rose Bowl parade.
Absolutely, yes.
And the first time your wife has.
Yes.
In all,
is that a question?
All your years, you newly watched it, very first time. Do you feel like you really missed anything over your last
Not at all. I feel like it's like every other parade that you've ever seen, and I don't really like parades, so there's no reason for me to see it.
Even though they're made from organic materials, everything's made from flowers and made from, you know, stuff that's nothing.
Cool. It didn't have Snoopy in it, so I don't think it constitutes a real parade. So I didn't see a Snoopy balloon. Maybe it was because I didn't watch it very long.
You were lucky you were not in the same room. I would punch you right in the grill.
JD, I'm going to throw the snow day activity back at you, but I want to know, because of all the snow, a lot of schools are obviously closed. I want to know if you're going to be outside, JD, what's the best snow day activity when you're outside?
It's interesting. I grew up on the Iowa-Minnesota border, and it gets cold. It gets tons of snow every year. And I hate snow activities. I don't ski. I don't ice skate. I don't play hockey. Snowmobiling's okay, I guess. I don't cross-country ski. But if you're making me choose, I'm going to go tubing down a hill. That's okay. What I'm going to do. That can be fun for like 20 minutes. And then I'm done. I want hot cocoa and I need the warmth of the inside. Yeah, I'm not a big fan of that. But anyway, Bobby, 2014 movies, a lot of buzz around a lot of movies. And I'm sure we'll have a whole segment on this. But I want you to pick one movie in 2014 that you are most excited for.
So there's two movies, JD, that I'm pretty excited about. One is Wes Anderson has a movie coming out, The Grand Budapest Hotel. I like all things Wes Anderson, so I'm excited for that one. But then this one I've seen previews for already, and I think it looks really funny. Neighbors, it's with Seth Rogen and Zac Efron, where Seth Rogen and his wife, played by Rose Byrne, have their next door house is bought by Zac Efron's frat. And so there's a frat house that moves in next door. Looks really? Very funny. Really? It looks really funny.
I mean, there's a lot of great stuff. Noah's Ark is coming out. You've got, the new Planet of the Apes, which looks amazing, with Jason Clarke in it. And you're going with Neighbors.
I like all things comedy, JD. Okay. That's what I'm most excited about when it comes to what's coming out. I look at who's bringing it, who's bringing the funny next year. Oh, and I'm sure Expendables 3 is going to be fantastic.
I like the first two. I'm not going to lie. Those are good. Now that you mention it, those are good snow weather movies to watch.
Oh, okay.
So, anyway.
Okay, last question for you, JD. Who is the best coaching candidate, realistic coaching candidate, that's still out there? So I don't want to hear you say Bill Cowher because he's not a realistic coaching candidate.
I think in the right situation, he would coach. I do think in the right situation, he would coach. That's hard. That is really hard. Jack Del Rio is getting a lot of play right now. And I I like Jack Del Rio, former Viking linebacker. Did some decent things for a while in Jacksonville. But has he done that much for the Broncos?
I think he's a good defensive coordinator. I don't know that he's a great head coach candidate. I think the Broncos have done a lot, and now I'm answering questions that I've asked you.
But he is up there with Jay Gruden as top people that people are talking about.
Yeah.
Coming in, vacancies are already getting filled rather quickly. Lovie Smith to Tampa. So the pool of people you want is
stop. Stop dribbling the basketball around and finally shoot already. Tell me who it is.
I think Jack Del Rio is going to be the next coach of the Minnesota Vikings.
Oh, okay.
I think.
And do you think he's the best candidate out there? Because that's what the question is.
I want to see a coach with head coaching experience, and I don't want to get another Brad Childress coordinator, Leslie Frazier coordinator. I want somebody who's been there. I'd like somebody who's been there and done that, Brian Billick. But you know, that's what I'm going with. I'm answering the question. I answered the question.
That's your best coaching candidate out there right now is Jack Del Rio. That's what you're saying.
Since Bud Grant is not going to coach again, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Well, that brings us close to the station. When we come back, last call, one stop away.
Closing time. Open all the doors and let you out into the world.
Bobby, my last call, one stop away, comes from Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Good radio voice coming in there. It was healthy.
Yeah. Well, a Michigan woman has a couch, okay? And
Wait. Hold everything. There's a Michigan woman that owns a couch?
Yes, yes.
I don't believe it.
She's owned this couch for 2 months. She discovered it by the side of the road and then proceeded to move the couch into her bedroom.
It's a little iffy move. I've taken furniture that off the street, but I've taken used furniture, but I've never put it in the bedroom.
Used furniture in my life, but I've never taken anything off the side of the road. Usually they came from people I know, like, hey, I'm getting rid of my couch. You want it? Yes, I'll use that furniture. Yeah. Not this time. She took it off the side of the road, and it stayed in her bedroom for 2 months before she and her boyfriend discovered there was a boa constrictor living in the couch.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been in there like 2 months, she says. I had no idea. And it looks pretty big. She said the couch didn't seem suspicious until she discovered the snake. This is her quote. We smelled it and everything. It looked okay. We peeled off the cushions, cleaned it up. Never saw anything. Well, she was going to take the snake to the vet, but it died shortly after emerging from the couch.
Wow.
She said it was quite cold in the room and there was no food for the snake. I think it came out of the couch because it was dying.
Is that your Michigan accent, by the way? Okay.
Funny. Our friend John would appreciate that. Funny. My room almost feels a little empty now. It's been really sad, actually, to realize all this time I was in the proximity of that animal, and it was probably suffering. They say they didn't know the snake's length or approximate age, but they did have a boa constrictor from a curbside couch living with them.
That's crazy. I don't think they really did that good of a job cleaning the couch if there was a snake living in it for 2 months. Are we sure that the snake just didn't wander? It sounds like her living conditions as they are probably suspect.
By bedroom, we just mean yeah, the back half of the trailer that is wide open.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have questions about where that snake really came from.
Exactly.
Well, JD, mine comes from North Charleston, South Carolina. Now, Helen Ann Williams is, she likes her booze.
I'm sorry, excuse me?
She likes her booze.
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 B-O-O-Z-E. With a Z. Yeah.
Now, let me ask you this.
Yes.
Has your wife ever gotten angry at you for coming home and forgetting something at the grocery store?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
What's the worst thing she's ever done for when you've come home? And you say, ah, you know what? I forgot the eggs, or I forgot the milk, or...
I'll get a look, and that's about it.
Okay.
But because she knows I am a forgetful person.
Yeah.
I forget things. And, you know, she's just like, oh, there he is again. JD forgot some grocery. Actually, my wife doesn't sound like that at all.
I was going to say, that's going to be a problem for you later. This is going to be edited out.
I had to do that because I cannot do impressions very well.
That's true.
And I can't do an angelic voice impression. So that's what I had to go with.
Well played. Good way to walk that one back. Well, Helen Ann Williams was a little angry with her boyfriend because he forgot something at the store. Well, he didn't forget. She sent him out on Christmas Eve to go get some beer.
Okay.
And he came home empty-handed because the store was closed.
That happens.
Her reaction was not to give him a dirty look like your sweet angelic wife would have done. She instead took a ceramic squirrel and stabbed him with it.
What?
In the left shoulder to the left chest, and he also had cuts on his face from her attacking him since he did not bring home beer.
She needed her beer.
She really wanted her beer. Now, this happened at 12:20 a.m. So
you know what's going on there, yeah.
At the time when Santa was flying around delivering all the good children toys, she was just plunging a ceramic squirrel into her boyfriend's chest and shoulder for forgetting the beer.
It's the Christmas spirit.
That is the Christmas spirit. Yeah, and nothing good happens after midnight. There's no good arguments that happen after midnight, especially with ceramic squirrels, and especially over forgotten or no beer.
Yeah, that is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
I'm guessing she was charged.
She was charged. Her bond is set at $10,000, JD, and I'm assuming
they won't afford that.
just based on my reading of this article, I don't think she'll be able to afford that one for a little bit.
Are you sure she's not related to Holly Wright of Grand Rapids, who pulls furniture off the side of the road?
They might know each other. They might know each other.
Well, that brings us to the station. It has been a great podcast. Great start to 2014.
Absolutely.
And we will see you next week.
Don't worry about that. Yep, there it is.
To say goodbye to yesterday.